All right, folks, the Lord is good, isn't He? He's good. I was noticing what was said a while ago about Nedra being so good at giving advice. That's wonderful. My wife can give advice, too. There was a young preacher's wife that came up to her. Oh, it's been 2 or 3 years ago. Might have been at Hillsboro, Ohio. And she just embarking out on the ministry with her husband. She said to Gyneth, "Do you have any advice for me?" As a minister's wife, just getting started out. And Gyneth said, "Yes, back your husband and keep your mouth shut." And that's not too bad advice, is it? We want to thank you all for praying for us. You've seen us through the ups and seen us through the downs. You were behind us when we lost Joe, and then you've been praying for us since Gyneth's been going through her lung cancer treatments. And on the way home from one of her treatments in Richmond, we got a call. We was about 2 hours from home, and our neighbor said the fire engines are in the yard and the motorhome's on fire. Just we'll laugh about it. It's already gone now. And they hauled away our clothes. They said, just leave in there what you can't use. And so most of the clothes were hauled off with the motorhome when they totaled it. But it turned out to be a blessing in disguise. God can take care of His people. And we finished a meeting last night over in eastern Kentucky. In an area where they love revivals, several churches visited that are interested in revivals. And then we start a meeting tomorrow night in south central Kentucky below Lexington. And then we take Gyneth back for her treatment back at Richmond, Virginia. Then back to eastern Kentucky again. And then over to Snow Hill, Maryland and Dover, Delaware and Seaford, Delaware, leading us to about the middle of December, and the Restoration Heirs are going to be over there for that one, the one at Seaford, and we really appreciate and are looking forward to that. We appreciate the faith and the convictions of the leadership there at the Seaford Church. Amen, Pete Short. And so we just say thanks be unto the Lord for the privilege of preaching the old Jerusalem gospel. You know, we're hearing a lot about CNN and Fox and everything else. I was in the motel and we got our papers all signed up and they had a big screen up there and they were listening to CNN, and I just couldn't help myself before I went out. I said, you have CNN on there. You want to know when those news reporters are lying on that channel. I said, when their mouth is moving. So, but I said that for a purpose. You know, we're all concerned about what's happening and who's going to be our next president, but friends, that's chicken feed. That's not where the battle is. The battle is here. The battle has to do with the kingdom of God. All of this other is just window dressing and doesn't mean the snap of a 6-year-old's finger. The battle is in the kingdom of God. It's the battle between Satan and the kingdom of God, a battle that has been raging. The Lord prophesied that in the first messianic prophecy in Genesis 3:15, the trouble that would be between the seed of the woman and the serpent, and the battle is still raging on. And Satan is drawing our attention away from the real battle by causing us to focus on these other things that are things of concern. But the real battle has to do with God's people as to whether or not they're going to stand or whether they're going to cave in such a time as this. I have a message I want to share with you tonight. Is the sound all right? Is everything all right back through there? Back through the back? Is everything all right? All right. Praise the Lord. Let's get into the Scriptures. In the book of Revelation chapter 12, I'd like to begin reading with verse 9. I'm not going to give a dissertation on Revelation, even if I was qualified, which I'm not. And the problem is, most of the ones that think they are qualified are not either. But what I want to do is read a passage here, and what we're going to read is a situation, a scenario that is relived under similar circumstances all through the ages. Listen to this. In Revelation 12 and verse 9, and I want to speak to you for a few minutes tonight on the subject of God's message to the church. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast into the earth and his angels were cast out with him. I want to read that passage of scripture and notice something that is stated here. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world, and was cast out into the earth and his angels were cast out with him. Verse 10. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accuseth them before our God day and night. Then in verse 11, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. Therefore rejoice ye heavens and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the child. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time, times and a half a time, from the face of the serpent. Now verse 15. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. Verse 16. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. Now listen to verse 17. And the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Now this is something that was true here, and it is also true even today. Listen to what the Bible says. And the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Now I ask you, who are the ones that are keeping the commandments of God? They're God's people. That's the church. The Bible says they're keeping the commandments of God. War has been declared on the ones that keep the commandments of God and the ones that have the testimony of Jesus Christ. I'm very serious tonight when I talk about how that the real battle has to do with the situation and the relationship between Satan and the kingdom of God and Satan and the church. And the church is going to have to realize that God has a message for it today. Now in the book of Matthew chapter 16, Jesus in verse 13 came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, and he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I the Son of Man am? And you remember how that they were as confused then as they are now. Some said he was John the Baptist, Jeremiah, Elias, or one of the prophets. And Jesus said, but who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said, blessed art thou, Simon, son of Jonah, Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And you can go on and read the rest of that powerful verse of scripture. We hear it said in many circles today that the church is not important. When you look at the church from the standpoint of the biblical definition for the church, it's the only thing that is important. Because the Lord is coming back after one institution. He's coming back after the church. He's not coming back after the athletic associations. He's not coming back after the educational associations. He's not coming back after the educational institutions. He's coming back after the church. And my friends, when He takes the church out of the world, there'll be no more need for the sun and the moon and the stars, because the church, the kingdom of God, is the center of everything. When He takes the church out of the world, there'll be no need for the Atlantic and the Pacific and the Indian Oceans to ebb and flow, because that was all a part of God's plan, and it is all centered around the wonderful kingdom of God. And so we're in a battle, we're in a critical battle, and I'm afraid that we're getting our noses bloodied as so many things are happening, as Satan is scoring so many knockouts and knockdowns, and he's being too victorious, and it has to be turned around. And it'll only be turned around when God's people realize what is happening and take their stand for righteousness and stand up for God and Christ in the church and be what they ought to be in the kingdom of God. Now as we deal with this message, God's message to the church. Now, I forgot to bring up some water. Somebody bring me up a little bit of water. I'd really appreciate it. You know, I was looking at my fine brother down here, and I'll say this while they're getting me some water, that's blessed with not having any hair. I don't have any hair back here. And my wife, of course, lost her hair. I hope I don't embarrass her here. She got a nice hairpiece. We was in a revival up in Ohio. And a little smart aleck fella came in there, one of the greatest guys. He's been here. His name is Danny Postal. And he's just as bald as a turnip, too. And he came into our revival up in Ohio. Thank you, brother. And he said to Gyneth, "I didn't recognize you with hair." She said, "I wouldn't recognize you with hair either." So, you don't want to mess with these women. Have you men found that out? All right. Now when we deal with the subject of God's message for the church, He has a message for the evangelists. God has a message for the preachers of today. I want to read a passage to you. This is a passage that I've loved for many years in 2 Timothy chapter 4. An old wrinkled preacher, an old wore out preacher that was soon going to lay down his sword and bequeath it to the young preachers that were coming on. Here's what he said to him in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. Paul is talking to this young preacher Timothy, and he said, "I charge thee therefore before God and Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and kingdom, preach the word." He's telling this young preacher to preach the word. There's not enough word being preached today. The word of God needs to be preached. We don't need these pablum platitude type sermons that preachers get from the internet. Our congregations don't need internet sermons. They need sermons from the word of God. When we hear simply internet sermons, we're not going to hear sermons on doctrine. And so God has a message to the preachers and to the evangelists. Preach the word, get into the word. And the Bible says, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Oh, that's a word they don't want to hear today, doctrine. But friends, you can't preach from one verse in the Bible without preaching doctrine. I know what they mean when they say we don't want to hear doctrine. They don't want to hear the plan of salvation. They don't want to hear about the Lord's Supper. They don't want to hear about the one church. They just want to hear something that is going to pacify the people. But you can't preach anything without the doctrine. It's all the doctrine of God. And so God has a message for the preachers today. Get up on your hind legs and start preaching the Word. Preach the Word. Be instant in season and out of season. Listen to what the Bible says. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. There's a time that has already come, young preachers and older preachers, when people don't want doctrine. They don't want the Word of God. They want things that'll make people happy. They want things that'll make people feel good. They want to be preaching and patting people on the back. They need to be patted, but they need to be patted low every once in a while, don't they? The Board of Education needs to be applied to the seat of learning. And the Bible teaches here, as Paul was talking to this young evangelist, he said, preach the word in Colossians 4:17, say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received of the Lord. And so God's message to the preachers is, preach the word. Don't compromise the word. Preach the gospel. Preach the plan of salvation. Preach what the Bible says about the Lord's Supper. Preach what the Bible says about the one church. One thing that is terribly lacking in this brotherhood across the board is strong preaching by strong preachers on the strong doctrine of the Word of God. We need to preach doctrine, 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 doctrine till it runs out their ears, till they understand what the plan of salvation is, and once they'll end. Once again, we can learn who we are, where we came from, what we stand on. Preach the Word. That's the message that God has for the preachers of our time. I'm thankful for the young evangelists that are here that are preachers of the Word. We've got young preachers here that preach the biblical plan of salvation. That's one thing that is showing up missing in many of the churches. They don't want to preach the plan of salvation. Some of you heard me tell this story about a big church in Lexington, Kentucky. Goes back to the early Restoration days. An elderly gentleman from that church was heart sick because they're not preaching the plan of salvation, not on an irregular basis, let alone a regular basis. And he came out to our revival meeting at Connersville, not outside of Cynthiana, Kentucky, and he was concerned and he was loving hearing the plan of salvation once again. And he told me that he went back there to the church in Lexington and he shared with one of the deacons, "How come we don't hear the plan of salvation?" And the preacher heard about it and he saw him at the door one day. He said, "Are you the one that wanted to hear the plan of salvation?" He said, "Yes." He said, "Well, I'll give it, but I'm not going to give it all the time." Friends, we need to give salvation all the time. We've not preached the gospel until we've preached salvation. I remember our old-time preachers used to say, if you haven't preached the plan of salvation, faith, repentance, confession, and baptism, you've not even preached the gospel. You can get up and preach on faith, and my friends, you can preach a wonderful sermon on faith, but if you don't tell people how to be saved, how to come under the blood, you've not preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so God's message to the evangelists, God's message to the preachers, is to non-compromisingly preach the word and stand up and tell the truth and tell it like it is. May God raise up a generation of preachers that will preach the truth and will tell it like it is, because we're dying for the need of strong Bible preachers. Where are we going to get these strong New Testament preachers? Kevin Yeager is trying to do his best. We're trying to encourage preachers. I'm scared to death sometimes of some of these preachers that are coming out of these institutions. They have an agenda. Their plan is to contemporize the church, to de-plan a salvation it, to de-New Testament restoration elders it, to de-revival it, to de-evangelistic meeting it. And I want to share this with you. It seems as though the more mega a church comes, the less evangelism they have. They have a one service a week. And it seems as though when it comes to some of these large congregations, and my friends, I've always wanted a large congregation. Every church I preach for, I wanted it to become larger. We want them to become larger. It's wonderful when they become larger. That's what we ought to do. But the mega churches, my friends, the revival meeting has passed aside. The prayer meeting is passing away. The evening services are being passed out the door. The plan of salvation is not being preached. And we're on a battlefield. We're on a battlefield. This is serious business. I'm as serious as a heart attack. I'm as serious as I can be. We need straight shooting, non-compromising preachers that'll preach the word. And so preachers, preach the word. Preach the plan of salvation. When you get out in revival meetings, preach the blood. Preach those old sermons. I remember, I believe it was my old friend Johnny Hall. How many of you ever heard the old auctioneer preacher from Tennessee preach the gospel? He'd preach a sermon in just about every one of his revivals. What must I do to be saved? And then they'd preach on the one church. And they'd preach on the sin of denominationalism. We're not preaching with a chip on our shoulder, but that's something you don't hear anymore. And so may God give us preachers, and God's message to the church is God's message to the church, and then down to the preachers, down to the evangelists, is to preach the word, because the time has come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Now, secondly, God's message to the church. God has a message for the eldership of the Lord's church. Folks, I'm older than I've ever been before. You know that. I just turned 75 a couple weeks ago. And never felt better, but I don't know how long that's going to last. I've never been any older than I am right now. I've never been any more wrinkled than I am right now. And surely never been any uglier than I am right now. But I want to say this. I got an amen out of Tony Sullivan for something foolish. Now I want him to amen me on that strong doctrine. He's been doing that all along. But I want to say this. In all of these years of trying to preach, over 50 years of trying to preach the gospel, I've never appreciated old-fashioned Restoration New Testament elders as much as I do tonight. Thank God for you Bible-believing elders. Thank God for you, and thank God for what you have an opportunity to do. I want to read a passage. I was double-checking on this passage, and of course, we've preached on this, and you've preached on this, but in Acts chapter 20, and verse 17, and from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called for the elders of the church. That's the Apostle Paul. He never called for the preacher. He couldn't have come anyway. He was out with the rest of the preachers golfing. And so what he did was call for the elders of the church. The Bible says, and from Miletus he sent to the elders. And listen, from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. Why did Paul call the elders of the church? The Bible says, and when they were come unto him, he said unto them, ye know that from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you in all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations that befell me by the laying in wait of the Jews. Here he's talking to the elders. How I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed unto you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews, to the Greeks, repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and affliction abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear to myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. And now behold, I know that ye all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. When they have your sermon, when they preach your funeral sermon, preachers, I hope they'll be able to say, he did not shun to declare all the counsel of God. I hope they can say over your body, he never compromised the gospel for popularity. I hope they can say over your body, he never compromised the gospel for the sake of money. Paul said, I declare unto you, I have not compromised the gospel. And listen to what Paul said to the elders. Take heed therefore unto yourselves. Oh, if there was ever a time. All the time is the time, but if there was ever a time when old-fashioned Bible-believing elders really need to take their hold and do what God would have them to do, quit giving the reins to these little CEO, pink pantyhose, limp-wristed preachers coming out of the wherever they're coming from. You elders need to be the overseers of the church. The Lord made you the overseers of the church. He set the church in order, and of course the evangelist, when he is an evangelist, indeed, he naturally appoints the elders and set the church in order, but then the elders are the overseers of the church. And the elders need to be the overseers of the church. And if the elders don't get really in the position of being genuine overseers, some of these guys are going to come in here and take over the churches. They're doing it all over the brotherhood, all over the nation. There's a ruination situation. A battle is going on. It's not between Barack Obama and John McCain and some of these others. Oh, that's just a little sideline attraction that the devil has and is entertaining us. But the real battle has to do with what the devil is trying to do with the church. And he's trying to take over the church. And Paul said, and God said through Paul to the elders, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock, which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which He's purchased with His own blood. He told the elders to feed the church of God. Many of these ministers are not feeding the church of God. Thank God for the ministers that are. But it's the elders' job to see to it that the church is fed. It's the elders' job to see that doctrine is preached. We need a doctrinal program set up in our Sunday schools. Our kids are not learning really the doctrine. Our kids are not learning the uniqueness of the one church. They're not learning about the restoration movement. And with all of this Johnny come lately ring around Robin Hood's barn stuff that come out from these publishing houses that any church can use, Protestant or Catholic, no wonder we have biblical illiteracy in the churches. We need the elders to do their job. Thank God for you elders that are doing your job. The Bible says, feed the church of God. Feed the church of God. If the church is starving, according to this, it's the elders' fault. Because the elders are supposed to feed. They don't make pulpits like they used to. Everything. The whole country's going to the dogs. I was in a revival meeting. Back-to-back meetings in between Ghana's treatments up in Virginia. Back of Blacksburg, Virginia. And I got a little bit excited trying to preach. And I thought I'd make a point. And when I came down on that good old hard wood oak pulpit, I failed to see that little plastic birthday offering church building up there. And it had a little steeple on it. You guess it. I came down with a point. Well, I tell you what, nothing is like it ought to be today. When I came down, that just ruined the illustration. When I came down, I made the point. I came up, the steeple was sticking out of my hand. It really was. I'm not embellishing that at all. The church building was down here, but the steeple was sticking out of my hand. The only thing I knew to do was I stopped preaching and I pulled it out. The bone that healed up, it took a long time for it to heal up. I pulled it out. And one of the men went back and wrapped my hand up, and it turned red with blood by the end of the service. At least I'm a red-blooded American. But anyway, I don't know. I was trying to give you some kind of a point before this thing tore all to pieces. But now listen. We were talking about how that the elders need to feed the flock. Oh, God bless you, elders. At the Delmarva Peninsula, there at the Delmarva Family Camp Meeting, every year we have the elders to come forward. And we honor them. They stand in a circle. And we ask those elders to please observe the camp meeting. And we said, we consider ourselves under you, elders. We respect you, elders. We want you to notice. We're not a shot in the dark, happy-go-lucky thing doing our own thing. We want you, elders, to look at us and see what we're doing. We need the elders to oversee the flock. The elders need to oversee the flock back home. It's something besides just praying over the communion. It's something besides just passing out the communion, the unleavened bread, and the fruit of the vine. It's shepherding the flock. It's feeding the flock. It's guarding the flock from the wolves. And who would ever have thought we needed elders to guard us from our own people? Some of our own preachers coming in there that have a plan to destroy the church. They have a plan in 2 or 3 years to push the plan program which they have. If they can't win over the whole church, they'll gut the church and take the cream of the crop down the road, and they'll go their own way, and before long you barely recognize that they're a New Testament church. Am I telling it like it is? Friends, this is the only thing I know to do. Clarence Greenleaf said one time he only knew one thing, Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And so God's message to the church is, as we think about it, the message to the evangelist is to preach the word. My bear down on it. His message to the elders, feed the flock. Be what you ought to be. Oh, those qualifications should be just, there's something we've got to live up to. We've got to preach on those qualifications. But sometimes we'll just ordain somebody because he fits those qualifications. But there's a job that has to be done. And that job is shepherding the flock. That job is protecting the flock from the wolves and saving the churches. And if we don't get on the ball and have a revival, have an awakening, there's not going to be enough left for the cats to drag on. Now, thirdly, I think I'll get all 15 points in by the time my time is up. All right. Now, God's message to the church. God has a message for the deacons. There was a man, some of you know, Pete knows him, some of you others know him, Mark Billiter knows him, and DJ knows him, I think. I'm not going to mention any names. But there's a man one time that ran down the deacons. He said, a deacon is a nothing. Now listen, that could not be farther from the truth. A panel of good, hard-working deacons can help make the difference between a church being a success and a failure. A panel of hard-working deacons can give the church a good name out of the community. Deacons that help the elderly and do something besides take up the offering, but they get out there. They'll cut an elderly widow's wood and stack it up on her porch, or maybe change the oil for some poor person that can't afford to have their car lubricated. And do it all in the name of Christ, in the name of the church. It'd be nice if the deacons would get together and draw up a list of what they're going to do later this winter and what they're going to do next spring and how can they help the church. And talk to the elders about it, and everybody work together about it, and the evangelist have his input about it, and get out into the community and do good for the Lord. God has a message for the deacons. Serve Him. Serve Him. Serve Him in the church. Serve Him out of the church. Serve Him among the elderly. Serve Him among the needed. Serve Him in the hospital. Serve Him. That's what it means to be a deacon, to be a servant. And it's high time for the preachers to start preaching, the elders to start elding, and the deacons to start deaconing, and get something done, and we could turn some things around in our country. Then last of all, boy, that is something, isn't it? Nothing the matter with that. That another crazy preacher can't fix. Put about 50 pounds on Linwood, let him hit it and come right down there and drive it back down again. Now, God's message to the church. God has a message not only to the preachers. I've just skimmed the surface here. I don't have the time. God's message to the elders, God bless you, elders, I love you. Do your work. Save the flock. Now, God's message to the deacons, get out here and serve now. God's message to the church in general. Someone said, who's the most important person? What's the most important position in the church? Someone says, why, the preacher is. Who in the world ever told you that? Who told you the preacher was the most important person in the church? A good part of our churches would be better off without the preachers that they do have. Who told you that the preacher was the most important person in the church? The Bible doesn't say it. When a preacher is a preacher, he deserves high honor. He's more precious than gold. His feet shine for the glory of God. He has beautiful feet, but it doesn't say anywhere that the preacher is the most important person in the church. Someone says, I know the preacher is not the most important person in the church. It's the elder. Whoever told you the elders were the most important people in the church? Why, the elders are the overseers, the elders are shepherds, but I don't read where they're the most important people in the church. Someone says, well, those deacons, anybody knows what those deacons are capable of doing. They're the most important people in the church. Where does it say the deacons are the most important people in the church? When it comes to the church itself, what's the most important? The church is important. That's why the Lord gave evangelists for the church. The church is important. That's why the Lord gave elders. The church is important. That's why the Lord gave deacons. The church is important. It's done for you. God loves you. And so God has a message for you as members of the church. Stand firm in the faith. Stand firm in the doctrine. Be faithful to the services of the church. Don't be on again and off again. Let your quality time be being with God's people. Agree between you and God. You're not going to miss the Lord's Supper from now until the time that you die. Train up your children in the fear of the Lord. The congregation, my friends, the congregation needs a revival today. The congregation needs an awakening. The congregation needs to get into the Bible and start memorizing Scripture. The congregation needs to realize what it means to be faithful. How do we expect our children to be faithful if we're not going to be faithful? God has a message to the church. Be loyal, be faithful, be true. Now, we have 1st and 2nd Timothy written to Timothy and then to Titus. But the bulk of the epistles are written to the Christians. Written to the saints, be faithful, be steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the word of the Lord. Give more earnest heed to the things which you've seen and heard, lest at any time you should let them slip. And you read those epistles, you read those letters, and God is telling the church what to do. The church to really take a stand, and the church to be loyal, and the church to be faithful, the church to be good in their stewardship. My friends, God has a message for the church. He has a message for the church. I'm going to close with an illustration. Tony, is my time up? Now, listen. That boy down here that spent half the time preaching, don't take his time away from me. All right. You know what? I'm tired anyway, so I'm going to quit. Folks, listen. The Lord is good, isn't He? And as a dying man, I'm preaching to dying people. God has a message for the church. And the battle is not with Obama and McCain. The battle's in the church. And the battle that rages on between the dragon, between Satan and the kingdom of God. And Satan has declared war on the church. And he's winning too many battles. We've got to reverse it. God's laid a tremendous task on you all in your respective positions to be what God would have you to be. God bless your hearts, every one of you. The Bible still says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ if you want remission of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. I don't know what kind of a plan we have, but anyway, that's what the Bible says you have to do to be saved. God loves you, and I love you, and pray for us out on the evangelistic trail. God bless you.